things that are called works of man. And the point that is being made by Paul is very obvious. If it has to do with my earning that salvation, God owing me that work which derives from me, which had its origin with me, that's not involved in our salvation. He says it's not of those kind of works. But there's another kind of work. In this passage, there's a work that are the good works. How are those good works determined? Not by what I originated, but which God prepared beforehand. Those works of God are necessary. The works of man are not. When you look at this, it is not of that kind of work, the work that man originated, but it is of the works of God. Not only is the work of God something that God prepared beforehand, but he meant for us to walk in them. Those things that God has declared, he does not intend as suggestions. He intends as that which are the demands upon our life, that we continue in that path, that we walk in those things, and that we follow by faith, trusting his will. When those things go together, you understand the kind of faith that's involved that the Hebrew writer discusses. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 beginning, he says, "For ye have need of patience, that having done the will of God, ye may receive the promise. For yet a very little while, he that cometh shall come and shall not tarry. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrink back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul." What do we need to do? We need to have patience having done the will of God. Having done something, done that which is the will of another is what? That's obedience. That's what's being discussed there. Now, we are ones who are to have the kind of a patience that continues to do what God has afore prepared as a good work to walk in it. Now when we do that, what will happen later? We will receive the promise. That's what's coming down the line. And he points out to us, that is what it means to live by faith. The quotation from Habakkuk, that the righteous shall live by faith, is found several times in the New Testament. And each time that it's found, it suggests something entirely different than the faith-only doctrine. The idea that the Calvinist world and the evangelical world has is you come to this moment of faith. You accept certain things that are of God. You accept that into your heart, Jesus as your personal Savior, however they want to put that. And at that moment of your acceptance, then that is what has provided salvation. The Calvinists go even further than that and say, it's not just that you come to that point in faith, but that the Holy Spirit has to act on you contrary to your will, because they say you were totally depraved. You couldn't do good if you wanted to. So God had to go against your will, impose upon you faith, and when that happened, what takes place? You have salvation that you can't lose. Once saved, always saved. The idea involved in that is that if God acted, he brought it about, God is perfect, therefore it can't be lost. That's their idea, and it runs absolutely contrary to what the Hebrew writer said. The Hebrew writer points out, we have a responsibility to do the will of God, looking by faith to the promise. And what does that mean? That we live a life of faith. Now that's one kind. Then there's another kind. He says, and if he shrink back, what? He says, my soul has no pleasure in him. That's another kind that he began. He accepted that. That's talked about back in Hebrews chapter 6. And again in Hebrews chapter 10. These people that started out, that came to a knowledge of the truth, that received the will of God, they were partakers of the promise, all of those things. And what happened? They fell away. They fell back. They went away from that which God would have them to do, and were acting differently now. Now what happens with those? He says, if they shrink back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Now, he says, If they shrink back, what happens? We are not of them that shrink back unto perdition. There goes once saved, always saved. The idea that we come to faith in God and a salvation through that faith in Jesus Christ, and we're going to talk about all that that entails in a moment. Then what happens? We go back. We are in where? We're in perdition, a place of condemnation. He says, but we have the kind of faith that is unto the saving of the soul. Do you see that there's a kind of faith that shrinks back and it only ends in perdition? But there's a kind of faith where one lives by faith, and they are ones who have the saving of the soul, the promise that was talked about. Now what does that demand? That demands obedience, having done the will of God, and patiently doing that, continuing in that path. Now, when you look at those two kinds of faith, that's the one. There's a faith that is unto the saving of the soul. But you have another kind presented in John chapter 12. The text says, nevertheless, even of the rulers, many believed on him, speaking of Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Now get it. For they love the glory that is of men more than the glory that is of God. Is that a faith that's saved? But that's exactly what it says. They believed on him. Those rulers believed on him, but they would not confess it. Jesus had pointed out, if you'll not confess me before men, I'll not confess you before my Father in heaven. No, that's not a faith unto salvation, but it is a kind of faith. And the kind of a faith that it is, can we not call that a faith only? It is not one that lived by faith. It is only one that had that momentary point of faith, and then it departed. Those